All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Colossians in the New Testament, please. Chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. There are a lot of folks through the years, commentators, who have said that Colossians probably should have been named Laodiceans, but because of the negative stand that John took on the church at Laodicea, Colossae is right there and Laodicea is right there. They decided that they would call it Colossians instead of Laodicea. And if that's true, I don't blame them. But I don't blame them. But anyway, this is a great book. This book is, it has some wonderful, wonderful verses in it that should be highlighted in every Christian's life. But I want to have you look at a few things this morning out of this third chapter. Beginning, please, if you will, at verse 12. Verse 12 of the third chapter, and here Paul says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another," and hold on now, this is a strange one, "forbearing one another," get a grip on the pew in front of you so you don't fall out the floor, okay? It says, "and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Wow, that's a powerful verse right there. That's not what I'm preaching on. I should preach on that one, though. All right, verse 13, it says, "and above all these things, put on" what? Charity. Now you remember, charity is the character of love. All right. Look at the word char. All right. Think of the word character. All right. Character, and that's what charity is. It is the character of love. In other words, it is how love behaves. All right, it's how love behaves, and a tremendous word in our English King James Bible. All the others don't like that word; they just translate it to love, and it's that's not the word. The word is charity, character, which Paul says is the bond of perfectness. All right, now watch this. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Let's stop right there and keep your Bible open, please. And I want to speak to you this morning on the word of Christ, the word of Christ. In verse 16, the Bible says, Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now, if you will notice, he's talking about all these little practical things that ought to exemplify our lives. We ought to be, as believers, we ought to be forbearing. All right, in other words, tolerant of others. everybody's different, all right? You do not all have the same color clothing on this morning. And thank the Lord you don't, all right? We're all different. There are brown-haired people in here. There are gray-haired people in here. There are blonde-haired people in here. There are black-haired people in here. And then there's John. No-haired people. Yeah, there's no-haired people in here. And John's the head of that club. You've heard of the Hair for Men Club? Well, John is the president of the No Hair for Men Club. All right? You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Hey, I've been gone for a little while. I need to catch up. All right? So we're all different, but we ought to put these things to work in our lives and forbear one another and forgive one another and put on charity and have peace and let peace rule in our hearts. And then he says almost as a capstone, this is how we accomplish this. In verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So here's how we do all these things. All right, let's pray, and then the message, the word of Christ. Father, thank you now for your wonderful word, and I pray you'll bless what we're about to say. Thank you so much for the Bible and what we can glean and learn from the scriptures. And Father, I pray that you will just guide my thoughts and help me as I speak. And Father, also pray that you will bless everyone who listens, and may we have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And so, Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all you've done for us. Now bless us richly as we have gathered here to hear your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We find in this 16th verse a very beautiful name that the Apostle Paul gives to the Bible, to the Scriptures. He calls the Bible here the Word of Christ. The Word of Christ. Now, that's important. You say, well, why is that important, Pastor? Well, that's important because this is the only time in all of the New Testament where the Word of God is called the Word of Christ. It is often called the Word of God, but it is only one time called the Word of Christ. And that's here in this 16th verse, the only time. And that is a fitting title to the Bible, don't you think? I mean, it's fitting. Remember now that the Lord Jesus Christ said that he is the Word of God. All right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So the Bible is the Word of Christ. There is no doubt that the Bible is the Word of Christ. I think it was Brother Roloff years ago, many years ago now. Brother Roloff's been in heaven for a long time. But I heard Brother Roloff preach many, many times when I was in school, and he would always come to Boulevard Baptist Church the first week of January, and he would preach a revival, and all of us preacher boys would go and get right down front, right down where the glory comes out. You know, we wanted to get every word. And that guy was, if you never heard Brother Roloff, it would do you good just to go online and find some of his sermons and listen to them. He's got one called, And the Mule Walked On. You know, remember that? Absalom hung in the tree and the mule walked on. You ought to get that one and listen to it. Oh, my. You'll never be the same, I promise you that. But Brother Roloff was a character. I mean, he was a character. And he believed the Bible to be the Word of God. Every year in January, he would come to Boulevard Baptist Church in Greenville, and he would preach a revival meeting. And we would go Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and he would preach all out of the first few verses of Genesis. Now, do you know why? He would do that because that's the new year, and he was starting over his Bible reading again. He read the Bible through, so that's where he preached. Wherever he was reading from, that's where he preached. And just amazing. And I heard him say one time that he turned to a passage of Scripture in the sermon in the New Testament, and he looked down and saw somebody on the front row, saw their Bible, and said, "Son, is that a red letter edition of the Bible?" And the boy looked up and said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, you need to go get you some crayons and color all the words red, because all of this is the words of Christ, not just what's underlined and shaded in your Bible. It's all the Word of Christ." And man, I never forgot that. That's true, though, isn't it? Not just what is attributed to the Lord Jesus verbally, but it's all His Word. So the Bible will become even sweeter to you when you understand that the Bible speaks to you of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the sum and the substance of all the verses and all of the chapters and all the books in the Bible, that they came directly to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the beloved Apostle John, he put it this way. He said in John 20 in verse 31, he said, "These things were written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." So I think it is important also to understand that the Scriptures do, in effect, come to us from Christ. Every promise in the book is mine. That little song that we used to sing in Sunday school, do you remember that? Every promise in the book is mine. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, he said, "For all the promises of God in Him, in Christ, are yea, and in Him, amen." In other words, you can say amen to every promise that is given to you from the Lord Jesus Christ that's in this book. Every one, you can say amen to it. It's yours. Claim it. It's yours. And so the promise is that the Word of God is ours. And I think this is one of the main ingredients for victory in the Christian life. The Word of God. The Word of God. The indwelling Word of Christ, as Paul puts it here, is our sword of the Spirit, and we can defeat the devil and go on to victory over whatever the devil may throw in our path. The psalmist said it this way. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You see, folks, hiding the Word, indwelling the Word in your heart, that is so vital and so key to victory in the Christian life. And so Paul is telling the church here, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, I'm convinced that we do not do what the Apostle Paul is admonishing us to do here. I'm just convinced of that. And I think that is one of the main ingredients for victory in the Christian life. You see, the Word of Christ, the Word of God, the Word of the Holy Spirit, authored by the Holy Spirit, that Word indwelling, living in us, is that which gives us the fortification that we need in order to fend against the wiles of the devil. And I just am convinced that we are not reading the Word of God like we should. The Word of the Lord, the Word of Christ, is our sword in the Spirit. It is the weapon that we use to go on to victory over whatever the devil may throw our way. The indwelling Word of Christ gives us liberty. It gives us freedom from sin's bondage. It gives us, look at the verses. It gives us wisdom. Oh, how many of you need wisdom? Raise your hand. I got both of mine up in the air. Sure, we need that wisdom, don't we? Yes, indeed. All of us need wisdom from the Lord. And that's where it comes from, the indwelling Word of Christ. It gives us wisdom and understanding. It will give us peace. How many of you like to have peace in your heart? Yes, you would, wouldn't you? I would too. I mean, I don't like waking up in fear every morning. I don't like that. And I've just made up my mind I'm not going to live like that. I'm just going to get in the book and let the book get in me, and I'm just going to have the peace of the Lord. I've told you this hundreds of times, but I've read the back of the book, and I know we win. Amen. So don't be discouraged. You've got a Bible here that is the Word of Christ. It is as if God Himself was here, the Lord Jesus Himself, and speaking to you every time you sit down and read this Bible. That's how real the Word of God is. The psalmist David said in Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know what that word nothing means? Nothing. Exactly. Yes, it means nothing. It means when someone sits in your seat, that will not offend you. All right? That means when I pick on John, that won't offend you. If it doesn't offend John, why in the world should it offend you? That's a thought, isn't it? I'm telling you, folks, we need to let the Word dwell in us. If we had the Word of Christ dwelling in us as we should, we would not have marital problems. We would not have rebellious teenagers. If our kids, if our young people listening to me now, I'm trying to help you this morning. But if you, as a teenager, would get in the Bible and read your Bible every day, you would find out that rebellious spirit that you have is going to be quenched. Amen. It's going to be squashed. It's going to be, it's like it's going to have the hand of the Lord on it, pushing it down so it doesn't raise its ugly head. That's how I experienced it as when I was a teenager. I was so rebellious, I couldn't stand myself. Honestly, I just couldn't stand myself. I remember my mom looking at me one time just before I was saved, and she said, "What in the world are you so angry about?" And I sat there and I thought, what am I angry about? I didn't even know what I was angry about. But I was angry. And you know what fixed that? Getting saved. Amen. And getting baptized and joining the church and getting in the Bible and reading. And I told you, my pastor shook his Bible at me the day I got saved. And he said, "Now, Norse, you get in this Bible and you read it every single day." I said, "Yes, sir." I mean, he's the pastor. I believed him. And I think it's worked out pretty good for me. You know, I'm not in jail. Hallelujah. I guarantee I'm not in the grave yet. Hallelujah. You know, I don't think I would be here. And if I were here, I don't think that I would be up and walking around a free man. I mean, I was rebellious. But when I got saved and got in the book got rid of that old angry spirit that was in me. And it'll help you too, young people. You say, well, I'm not angry. Well, you just proved you are. I'm not angry. Yeah, right. Okay. Can you say that with a smile on your face? Get in the book. Get in the book. The indwelling word of Christ. Now, just a couple of quick things. First of all, what should be our attitude toward the word of Christ? What's our attitude towards it? Well, look at the verse, please, verse 16. Paul tells us we are simply to let the word of Christ dwell in us. Let it dwell in you. We know what the word dwell means, right? I mean, we understand that word. We just sit and think about it for a moment. We could give the exact same definition that Mr. Webster gives in his dictionary. Someone said that it is to dwell in a certain place. All right? Dwell in a certain place. What's that mean? That means we live there. All right? That's where we dwell. We reside there. The idea is that people dwell in a dwelling place. A dwelling place is a house. And so the idea is to live in the Word of Christ. How many of us can honestly say that we live in the Word of Christ? I'm sure it's not as many as what we might want to think. But Paul was just simply saying, let the Word of Christ enter into you. Let it dwell in you. That's the idea. That's the thought behind it. And so we are to allow the Scriptures into our hearts. We should allow the Scriptures to dwell in us. And in order for that to happen, we have to read the Word of God or hear the Word of God read. I have a preacher friend, and he just gets up every morning, and he has his office at his house, and he puts on a pot of coffee, he says. He told me he drinks a pot of coffee every morning. I would be climbing the walls. But he said, I just sit there and drink coffee and read the Scriptures out loud. I said, read them out loud. He said, yeah, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I said, oh, okay, I see what you're saying. But I'm not sure that's exactly what that means. But if it works for you, do it. But when I read it, I don't know how you read, but I normally pronounce every word in my head anyway. I'm a little slow. But so I do read it. Yes, but the Word of Christ, God's Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, that is to enter into our hearts, and that is to live in us. We live today in the entertainment age, don't we? Everywhere you look, we want to watch television, we want to watch movies, we want to be entertained every single waking moment. We were at the birthday party yesterday, and I was sitting on a couch, and I was eating none of your business, and it was good though. Yeah, it was good. My lips were blue when I finished eating it. It had blue icing on it. And so my grandkids were going. And I said, what? And one of them came over and said, you got blue lips. And I said, it was good icing. So anyway, the Word of Christ, it needs to dwell in you. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching everybody. You didn't think I was going to get back, did you? Huh? Come on, be honest. You didn't think I was going to get back. And so I'm sitting there looking around, and half of everybody in that room was doing this. At a birthday party. Sitting around doing this. And I just sat there and giggled a little bit. I said, man, we are the entertainment age, aren't we? That's where we are in our world. Well, notice Paul said, hey, let the word of Christ dwell in you. He didn't say let Google dwell in you. All right? He didn't say let Facebook dwell in you. No, he said let the word of Christ dwell in you. I'll guarantee you, folks, if we read the word half as much in one day as we spend on that little mind control device that we have, I'll guarantee you the word of Christ would dwell in your heart richly. Amen. Guarantee it. Oh my, how we need to be in the book. I've said to you so many, many times before from behind this pulpit, but you are what you have been becoming. Amen. And that's true. You are what you have been becoming. What are you dwelling on in your life? What are you dwelling on? That is what you are becoming. If you are pouring the world's music into your heart, then you're soon going to have a worldly heart. It's just that simple. If you are, find yourself with pouring pornography into your heart, then you're going to be a filthy person. It's just that simple. You are what you have been becoming. It's just that simple. And once the word of Christ is in us, it will remain in us. I used to scorn. I mean, I just thought, wow, this is too much. When I was a freshman in college, they gave us all these verses that we had to memorize. All these verses. And it was normally like one a week. One a week. And you had to memorize all these verses. By the way, Colossians 3:16 was one of them. And you had to memorize all these verses. And we used to keep them on these little tiny note cards on a ring so we could just refresh ourselves. And then I went to the Bible class. And when I was in the Bible class, that professor would say, now, you got memory verses for this class. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, we got memory verses for English class, for speech class. I mean, how many verses do you want us to memorize? And I didn't say that. But that's what I was thinking, you know, in Christian love. But that's what I was thinking. And then you go to this class and that teacher said, we got memory verses. And I'm going, good grief. And none of them overlapped. I mean, they were good at it, you know. They got together and talked about it. They knew exactly what they were doing. And so by the time I finished my freshman year, had oodles of verses memorized. And you know, I still know them all today, most of them anyway. We had to memorize for pulpit speech class. I'll never forget this. Jesse Boyd was my teacher, and I loved that guy. He was amazing. And Dr. Boyd gave us chapters to memorize. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 13. Revelation 19, Revelation 20. I mean, just whole chapters. And he told you up front at the beginning of the semester, these are the chapters you have to memorize. And on the final exam, you will be asked to write out one of these chapters. So you better get busy now. Well, you know the life of a college student, don't you? Procrastinate. Got down to the last week, and my roommate, who had that class the year before, said, hey, do you remember in pulpit speech when he said and gave you all those chapters? You better memorize those. And I said, oh, man, I forgot all about that. He said, he doesn't care if you forgot. You're going to get it on your test. And so I started cramming. I thought, which ones do I know the best? You know, and so I started cramming, Psalm 23, I had that one. And then I thought, well, what's one that's short? I thought, let's do Revelation 19. I think Revelation 19. Well, went in, guess what he said for us to write down? Isaiah 53. Boom. Boom. I got most of it right. I got enough to get a C. But if he had asked me for Revelation 19, I'd have got an A. If he had asked me for Psalm 23, I'd have got an A. But no, he had to pick the longest one, Isaiah 53. And I should have studied that one. I went back and asked my roommate. I said, which one did you have to write last year? He said, Isaiah 53. I said, stand up. And he stood up and I smacked him as hard as I could smack him. You couldn't tell me that? You couldn't tell me that? He said, well, I figured that you would already know that. I mean, everybody knows it's Isaiah 53 that he asked for. Well, I didn't know it, but I sure found out. Now, my senior year, I had a junior in my room, and he said, wow, we got to memorize all these verses. I said, no, don't worry about it. Just all these chapters. I said, just memorize Isaiah 53. And he did, and he got an A. I can't stand those people. Folks, this is how we ought to be with the Word of Christ. Let it dwell in you. Know it. Learn it. Learn the Bible. Second thing, how should we know the Word of Christ? Well, let's think about the advantage of the Word of Christ. Man, it is amazing what the Word of God will do in your heart. It's amazing. The Word of Christ. You study your Bible, folks. Listen, David said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Wow. I have more understanding. Hey, young people, you want to know more than your teachers? Walk in the Word. Let the indwelling Word of Christ dwell in you. Let the Holy Scriptures make you wise. You study the Bible. You learn the Bible. You want to understand how we got here. Well, right here, this Bible will tell you. This Bible will tell you how we got here. All right, now, here's what men do. Men come up with theories. Right? Yeah, the theory of evolution. And not a one of them can prove it. Right. None of them can prove it. It's just a theory. Right. The Big Bang Theory. Wow. Well, if you've read the Bible, you know the Big Bang is not at the beginning. The Big Bang is at the end. Amen. If you've read the Bible. You see, God answers all the questions. Where'd we come from? We were created by divine fiat. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you go and ask one of these PhDs, all right, post-hole diggers, you know, PhDs, you go ask one of them, they're gonna say, well, you know, the theory, the gap theory said, oh, you were there? You saw that? Oh, no, it's a theory that I read in a book, but I believe it. Well, whoop-de-doo. I don't care if you believe it. Don't you want to talk to somebody that was there? Amen. Huh? Don't you want to talk to somebody that was there? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I mean, just go with God. It never fails. Never fails. What an advantage the Bible gives us. It gives us, I don't know about you, but when I got that matter settled in my heart, it just turned my whole thinking around. Oh, I went to public school. I remember Mrs. Morris in the eighth grade. Take out your textbook, and there was the chapter on evolution, and it was at the beginning of the semester. And she said, "Now I'm going to get asked if I did this, so I'm going to do it." And she said, "Now y'all listen real carefully. Here is the theory of evolution." In about 10 minutes, she did the whole theory. 10 minutes. She said, "Now put those textbooks away." And she pulled out a drawer and got a King James Bible and laid it down. Amen. And she said, "Now here's where we came from, really." Amen. And she taught like a Bible college professor would teach a class of freshmen where we came from. And nobody said a word. Nobody questioned it. Nobody doubted it. Nobody said a word. But now we're all educated, aren't we? Oh, yeah, we all know more than even God knows. And the simple truth of the matter is, the world's confused. Well, did we come from a tadpole? Did we come from an amoeba? Did we come from a paramecium? You know, just exactly what did we come from? How about the dust of the earth? How about formed and created by God, by the very word of God? Amen. That'll work for me. I think it's much easier to believe that a divine, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, immutable God created us than to believe that we evolved over millions of years into what we are today. So much easier to believe God did all that. All right? So, we prophet. The Bible distinguishes between wisdom and knowledge. We get wisdom from the Word of God. Amen. Wisdom is not head knowledge of facts, but heart knowledge from the Holy Spirit to affect a particular end. That's wisdom. Amen. That's wisdom. The heart knowledge comes from the Spirit of the Lord. I wish I had time to run several verses by you to prove this point, but the point is wisdom comes from the Spirit of God. Words like made, God makes us. Words like wrought, God does in us. He brings in us. He wrought us a certain direction. Words like works. God works in our hearts. And he works giving us wisdom so that we can be a blessing to others. In James 3, verse 13, James said, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom." So what do we get when we get in the Word? Wisdom. Wisdom. It'll give us wisdom. And you know there's a fleshly wisdom. That's the world's wisdom. And then there is, as James says, there is a godly wisdom. And that word wisdom, this kind of wisdom that the world has, that's devilish. It's devilish, the book of James says. And a substitute for godly wisdom. The world's wisdom is a substitute for godly wisdom. That little word for world's wisdom is where we get our English words wizard or witch, W-I-T-C-H. They all come from that worldly wisdom word. But God gives godly wisdom. So, thank God for what we accomplish, what we receive when we're in the book. Folks, listen, the best way that the Word of God profits us is it benefits in our relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
If you're not walking in the Word, you got a spiritual problem. It's just that simple. We all ought to be in the Word of God, reading the Bible, knowing the Bible, studying the Bible, loving the Bible, and applying it as the Holy Spirit works it in our lives. So, you know, if we would just dwell in the Word of Christ, we would have our hearts filled with songs of praise and singing to the Lord, with grace in our hearts to the Lord. I got up this morning. Well, let me rephrase that. I resurrected from the dead this morning, and I went into the bathroom and brushed my teeth and started shaving, and there wasn't anybody home, so I started singing, and I was just singing my little heart out in the bathroom. How many of you are good singers in the bathroom? Yeah, you are, aren't you? In the shower, you're a good singer. Come on, be honest. Be honest. Well, I'm real good in the shower. But anyway, I'm sitting there singing away, and it dawned on me that I was singing. I thought, wow, I'm singing. Why am I singing? Well, I'm singing because I get to go to church this morning. Amen. I get to go see my church family this morning. Amen. I get to preach out of Colossians 3 this morning. Amen. Oh, I was excited. That's what the Word of Christ in you does.
Right.
All right? Gives you a joy. So, Christian, are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? Oh, my. Get in it daily. Daily. Make some time. Find some time. Tear out some time where you can read your Bible every day. And let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Wonder how many of us will say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to get in the book. I have not been in the book like I should be, and God's speaking to my heart. So, preacher, pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up where I can pray for you? Let's be honest with ourselves and with God. Let's be honest. Oh, my, we need to get in the book. Amen. God bless each one of you. God bless you. God bless you. Let me ask this question. Is there anybody here today who is not 100% sure you're saved and on your way to heaven? You say, Pastor, I don't know if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. Please pray for me. Would you lift your hand, dear friend? Let me pray for you. Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Downstairs, upstairs. Preacher, pray for me. Anybody like that? Anybody? All right, Father, you know our hearts, and I pray now that you'll touch our hearts. Thank you for all these Christians who raised their hand, and Father, they know the importance of being in the Word of God. They have heard it over and over and over from this pulpit, but Father, it is so important. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Oh, my. Oh, my. Help us, Father, to have a burden for the Word of God, to love it, and to learn it, and to study it, and to memorize it, just to get it in our hearts. And Father, give us, I pray, that conviction of heart to do so. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.